Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Samach Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah and the series of these Mishnayos discussing all the different halachas, those mitzvahs that are punishable by the death of Skila being stoned. So it continues the Mishnah, Hamesis, which is one of those that are encountered amongst those that get Skila, the one who incites others to do Avodah Zarah, Zehedyet. This refers to a regular person that is maces others to do Avodah Zarah. In contrast, if it's a prophet that incites others to do Avodah Zarah, then actually the death penalty for him is not skila, but rather of chenek, as Gemara will explain. So do v'hameces as a hedid. We're talking about that, who is he inciting to do Avodah Zarah? It's referring to an individual, then they get skila. In contrast, if he's maces a rabbim, if he incites a public to do Avodah Zarah, for example, the Eran Nidachas, the city, the subverted city, then actually the punishment is only going to be chenek, as the Gemara will explain. Because one cannot infer, as we said regarding the first one, the one who's doing the hasasa as a hedyet, we said in contrast to a navi, we can't say so too when he's being maces, the hedyet means in contrast if he's maces a navi, but then he'll only get chenek, because we don't find such a differentiation between a prophet or if he's maces a hedyet. But we do find the differentiation between if it's a prophet that's doing the inciting to a commoner. Because by a hedyet that's maces, the pasuk says in the Devarim Yigimel B'sekal T'Bavon that you stone them. And by a prophet it says, however, that the prophet that will say a prophecy or have a dream to tell that you should do Avodah Zarah will be yumas, will be killed. And generally when the Torah says unspecified, which should be died, will be killed through chenek. So therefore when it's contrasting the maces as a hedyet, we'll see in the Gemara that's actually excluding if he's maces a rabbi. Now the Mishnah explains what does the maces do. Amar, he says to another individual, yesh yirub makom pleni, there is a god in that place, this idol, kach achilas, this is how it eats, kach shesa, that's how it drinks, kach mativa, this is how it does good, kach mirin, that's how it does bad. He's trying to entice, he's marketing his idol. Now, relating to this halacha, the Mishnah says, kol chiv v'misa shebetayra, all the types of death penalties for averis that are in the Torah, emach min alem, we don't do entrapment, we don't try to catch, to get the person to be stuck in that situation to be killed. Chutz mizu, except for mesis, we try trapping him. How so? Explains the Mishnah. If Amar l'shnayim, if he tells two people at the same time about, let's go do this Avodah Zarah, sahain, so those two people themselves, they become edu, they become his witnesses, and they don't have to warn him, like all of the chivim mises before him, that you need to have a sra, rather, mevinos lebezin, they bring him right away to court, and they stone him, as the pasuk says, l'sachmo lab l'sachaslav, you don't have any mercy on this guy, you take him right away to be killed. Now, but let's say, and this is where we illustrate that halacha of entrapment, let's say Amal Echad. Let's say he said to one person. So it says the Mishnah, the halacha is that who Aimer, the one that's being enticed, that's being seduced, has to respond to him to trap him, because you need two witnesses to be able to prosecute him, and he only said to one person. He has to respond, oh, great idea. He doesn't say great idea, but he says, Yesh li chaveim reitz mekach. He says, I have friends who want this thing. Let's come and tell to me in front of them that they could also hear and they could also join this Ireland that you're recruiting for. Now, Imhaya Arm, if this recruiter, this enticer, was intelligent, was crafty, and he can't talk in front of those two people. In other words, he's going to say, I don't want to publicize it because I'm afraid of the courts that they're going to execute me. So he's not going to tell two people at the same time. So machmin loy. So that's the halacha, is that he sets up a trap for this maces. He prepares edim acher hageder, witnesses that are behind the wall to hear the words that he's going to say. And he tells him, Amr masha marta b'yichud, tell me what you told me before in seclusion over here. There's no one here. And you can tell me what you had told me before. I want to hear more about this Avodah Zarah. And he tells him, now this guy responds back to me and says, how can we leave our God in heaven? We should go serve this wooden stones. What's this that you're trying to get me to do? If he repents now, that's good. But if let's say the Mesa says, no, this is our obligation, this is good for us. So those two witnesses who are standing behind the wall, they bring him to court and they stone him right away. Now, Ha'emer, if someone says, meaning this, any one of these terminologies of the maces are going to make him liable for inciting others to do Avodah Zarah. If let's say he says, Eved, I'm going to go serve. Or he says, Eilech v'Eved, I'm going to go and serve. Or Neilech v'Eved, let us go and serve. All those, as we explained in the previous daf, one the bigger chiddush than the other, are all ways of saying that, come on, let's go do avodah zarah, which is the mesis. Or let's say he says, Ezbach, I'm going to slaughter. Or Eilech v'Ezbach, I'm going to go and slaughter. Or Neilech v'Nezabach, let us go and slaughter. It's also considered mesis. Akter, he says, I'm going to burn. Eilech v'Akter, I'm going to go and I'm going to burn for a sacrifice for this idol. Neilech v'Nata, let us go and let us burn, is also. Or Anasech, he says, I'm going to pour libation. Eilech v'Nasabech, I'm going to go and pour. Neilech v'Nasech, let us go and let us pour, is also. Finally, if it says, Eshtachaveh, I'm going to bow down. Or Eilech v'Eshtachaveh, I'm going to go and bow down. Neilech v'Eshtachaveh, let us go and bow down. Again, as we said in previous dafim, this Zvicha and Haktara and Nisach and Eshtachaveh, these are the generic services of Avodah Zarah, which apply to all idols. And if he says any one of these forms, then that's considered a mesis and Yischayiv Misa. Now, the Gemara explains that our Mishnah opened up by saying, HaMesis Zehedit. The one who does the enticing, he is a commoner. Says the Gemara, time of the Hedyot. The reason why he gets skill is because he's a common man. Hanavi. But if, let's say, the one who is enticing is a prophet, where he's prophesizing the name of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to go serve idols, Bechenek, his death penalty is strangulation. Now, when the Mishnah continues, says, Vahamesis as a Hedyot, and the one that he's enticing is a Hedyot, explains the Gemara, time of the reason is because he's Mesis a Hedyot. In other words, because the Yachid, he's enticing an individual. Ha, but if, let's say, he's being Mesis Rabim, a public, for example, a whole city, what's known as the Irani Dachas, then the Mesis would not get Skila. Rather, it would be Bechenek. It would only get strangulation. In other words, because we cannot make the inference, as we mentioned this idea in the Mishnah, that this is says that Mesis as a Hedyot is coming excluded if his Mesis a prophet, if he tries enticing a prophet to do Avodah Zarah, because we don't find, again, any differentiation between Mesis a Navi or being Mesis a Hedyot. But between a Navi that's Mesis or a Hedyot that's Mesis, that we find differences, as we said, as the Gemara continues, where Masnit Mani, the Gemara asks, so who's the Tana of our Mishnah? If we see there has to be a Hedyot that's Mesis, and the one that is Mesis is a Yachid, only then does he get Skila. Who's that like? Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon, he's like Reb Shimon. The Tana, like we learned in the Braisa, which the reasoning of this Machlekes Reb Shimon, we're going to quote is explained later on, Perk Elihin and Nachnakin. Says the Tana Kama, Navi She'edeach, if a prophet subverts, gets people to do Avodah Zarah, he gets Beskila. Shimon Ami disagrees, as we inferred from our Mishnah, it's only when the head gets Mesis, but if a prophet is Mesis, he says Bechenek only gets strangulation. So too, Madichi Erani Dachas, regarding the other inference we have in the Mishnah, if someone subverts a whole city, then Beskila Tana Kama says still Skila. Shimon Ami Bechenek is the other halacha we inferred, where it's only HaMesis says Hedyot, but if he Mesis the Rabbim, Shimon says then it's only going to be Bechenek. So, similarly, the Tana of our Mishnah on 2 points is like Reb Shimon. On that, as the Gemara Eimah says, look at the end of our Mishnah, which actually refers to the Mishnah coming on this Amid. The Mishnah says, HaMediach, so that's the Mesis. Another category mentioned in the first Mishnah, it spoke about all the Chiba Skila, mentioned HaMediach, someone that subverts, gets others to do Avodah Zarah. What's that referring to? It says the coming Mishnah, Zal Eimer Nelech V'Navar Avodah Zarah, that refers to someone that says, let us go and serve idol worship. Now, Avraham Avinu Merav, he says, what is this Mediach different than Mesis? It means Madichi Irani Dachashon. It was referring to some of the subverts, the cities of that were subverted, which is in the coming Mishnah, which we refer to as the Seifa. It says that the Madiach of the Resha was referring to Madiach of Irani Dachas. In other words, the Mishnah we said on the Gimel Medalev, which was talking about all the different Niskalin, it was someone that says to a Rabbim, let us go and serve Avodah Zarah. Now the problem is that seemingly, that's like the end of our Mishnah, which whoever is the anonymous Mishnah, Tana of our Mishnah, is the same as the coming Mishnah. Ason Rabbanan, that's like the Rabbanan. You just said that according to Reb Shimon, if someone's Mesis, Madiach, if he gets other, a Rabbim to do Avodah Zarah, he gets only Chenek, not Skila. Yet the coming Mishnah is Tumar case of someone who's inciting people, what we call them the Madiach, which is a Rabbim, which is by the case of Erani Dachas. And the halacha of the Mishnah says that he gets skila. So that's like Rabbanan. So Reish Reb Shimon, Reish Rabbanan. We have a seemingly contradiction. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah is? Is it Reb Shimon like it seems like in the Reish? Or is it like Rabbanan? That's something from the coming Mishnah. So Ravina Amr, he says, actually Rashi says precisely Ravina Amr and not Amr Ravina. Amr Ravina would sound like that he says like this, and the coming opinion of Rav Papa disagrees. And that says Rashi that as is obvious from the Gemara, that Ravina and Rav are not disagreeing. Rather, each one is entering one of the two points that are applicable. Because there were just two points the Gemara had addressed by saying, from the two inferences, that similarly the Tana of our Mishnah, what we call the Reish, the top of our Omer, is like Rav Shimon. Now, these two Amarim are coming to resolve and explain, from the contradiction from the next Mishnah, which seems to be like Drabanan, that no, our Mishnah is also like Drabanan. And that's what the Gemara is coming to explain. Ravina is entering one of the points. And he says, no, kul rabbanhi, that even the Reisha, meaning our Mishnah, is like Drabanan. And when it says in the Mishnah, if someone's Mesa says a Hedyot, that's not to exclude if he's Mesa's the Rabban. But no, rather, by both of them, the Allah is going to be that you're going to get Skila. But our Mishnah was teaching when he's Mesa's an individual. And then the Sefer, meaning the Kav Mishnah, talks about the Madiach, that if he tells the Rabban, let's go do Avodah Zarah. But then we had similarly the inference of the contradiction, says the Gemara, no, v'loizu avzu katani. In other words, if you're going to ask, then wait a second, then why don't you just say in our Mishnah, the Reisha, what we call it, if he seduces even the public, and not just say Mesis Zehedit, which sounds like he's being Mesis as an individual, because it's obvious that everyone agrees by the case of that someone is Mesis as a Yachid, that he's going to get Skila. So why didn't you just say, if he's saying it's like Rabbanan, that even if he's Mesis, it's a Rabbim? And that's what Ravina is entering, that it's normal for a Tana to do it like that, where in the first halacha he mentions something that's obvious, and then he says another halacha, which is a bigger chiddush, a bigger novelty, and he's saying that not only if he's Mesis a Yachid, just an individual is going to get Skila, but even this case, which is the next Mishnah, if he's Mesis a Rabbim, which we call the Madiach, he's going to get Skila, but it's not like Rav Shimon. Now, Rav Papama, he comes also to answer the same original question, to say that although it said in the opening line of the Mishnah, I mean, Ravina addressed Hamesis as a Hedyot, which sounded like only by individual. Now we said, no, it's not just individual. It's even by a Rabban, which is the Halach of Mediach, as the next Mishnah. It just was saying, Loi Zuav Zogatan. Not only this, but even the case of the next Mishnah. Rav Papa is addressing the part of the opening line of the Mishnah that says Hamesis a Hedyot. So he says, Kikatani Mesis a Hedyot, when our Mishnah opens up by saying that the Mesis is a Hedyot, it's not coming to exclude, however, if a prophet is Mesis. Rather, no, every Mesis, even if it's a prophet, is called a Hedyot. What does that mean? It's not a Hedyot, it's a prophet. It means Lahachmana. It means regarding the halacha of entrapment. In other words, this enticer, we consider him as a low person, as a Hedyot, a commoner, like a fool, and we treat him like a fool, like a lightweight, which we're lenient with his life. Because, as we said in the Mishnah, all those who are chayiv misa for sins that they do need to be warned first. But this guy could be trapped, like we treat him like a lightweight, which is the term we're calling the mesis of a hedyot. But again, not to exclude if he's a navi, which is like the chacham, which is the same as the next Mishnah, that they hold that even if the mesis is a navi, also gets skila, not just chenik. The time like we learned in Abraisim, says b'shar kol chayiv misa shabbat Torah, all other death. The penalties of death that are applicable to other mitzvahs in the Torah, ein machmin ala, we don't trap the person. Chutz mizu, except for the case of the mesis. Ketzed oisin, like, how do we do it? So, madlikin lo yasaner bebayis apanimi, we light a candle for him in the inner chamber, meaning in the inner room, because he's afraid to talk to this guy out in the open, let's go into a private room. Umeshivan lo edim bebayis achitzin, then we put witnesses in the outer chamber. So we have a light open in the inner room so that they could be able to see him, which is with the light of the candle that's with him, because if they can't see him, they can't testify to have him prosecuted, because even though, as the next part says, that they hear his voice, but he could say, well, that wasn't me. It's not enough with voice recognition, they have to actually see him. So they light the candle that they could see him. And also, b'shemin is clear, they hear his voice. In other words, they hear the words of enticement that he's telling this individual. Now, b'hu ein roya yisin, but he doesn't see them. And so now this guy again, who does the entrapment, says to him, "Emor Masher Martali biyichud. Tell me what you told me before now in private." And he tells him. Now this guy responds back and he says, "Hechna niyches lekenush b'shemayim. How can we leave our God in heaven? V'navar v'itz kechav magoster of idols." So imcha yizabay mutav. If the guy hears it and he repents, so it's good. V'mamar kachi chabisenu b'kach yavolin. But if he says this is our obligation, this is good for us. So the witnesses who heard this on the outside, they bring him to court and they have him stoned. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which we had just referenced before. Continuing on the list of the Niskalin, of those who get Skila, is Hamadiach, someone who subverts others to Avodah Zarah. Zehoim, this refers to someone who says, Neilich v'navar, let us go and serve idol worship, which again, as the Gemara explains, refers to someone that's Madiach, not just a yachid, meaning it refers specifically to Aaron Eidachas, to the subverted city. He gets a majority of people of a city to do Avodah Zarah. The next on the list of the Niskalon is Hamachashev. Someone that practices sorcery. So Ha'oisa Ma'isev, he literally does an action of sorcery, then he's liable for death penalty of Skila. But V'loya Oiches Sesenayim, however, that does not apply to someone that just does what's called illusions. He captures the eyes, where he shows people as if he's doing it, but really he hasn't done anything. He says, Shnayim liknik yishun, you could have two people that are gathering cucumbers with sorcery in front of us in the field. Echad liknik patr, one who gathers them will be exempt. Echad liknik chayv, the other one who gathers could be liable for the death penalty of a skila. How so? Ha'isa ma'isab, the one who does it literally in action where you have a field of cucumbers and he literally gathers it with sorcery, chayv, he's liable for the death penalty of a skila. However, if he shows as if they were gathered to one place, but really in reality the cucumbers were not moved from their place, then Pater, then he is exempt for the illusion, he's not liable for the death penalty of Skila. Now, Amr Yehuda Merav, as we explained, he clarifies the halacha of Madiach. He says, Madichi Eir Nidachash on the Kamal. What we're talking about over here is the one who subverts the city of subversion. That's referring to, we're not talking about an individual, not talking about the halacha of Mesis we said in the previous Mishnah. Here, the Madiach is referring to when he gets a whole entire city to do over Dezara, and his death penalty is also Skila. Now, the Mishnah said, Hamachashiv, someone that practices sorcery, Zeho Isa Maisav, this is someone that does an action, he's Chayiv Skila. Now, Tarmah Lina Braisa, Mechashefa, when it says that regarding the death penalty for a sorceress, says the Braisa, Echad Ish Ve'echad Isha. Really, it applies to both man and a woman, because by Ovi Yudaini, which are Mechash from their sorcerers, the Pasuk explicitly does not differentiate between man and woman, as it says Ish Oy Isha in Vayikuchav. So, MK Matam Alevim Mechashefa. So, what does the Pasuk teach in Shemais when it says a Mechashefa, a sorceress, a female terminology, should not survive? Why pick female? Says the Brice of Nesha Rav Nashim Mitzuyis Bechshav, because most women are found regarding things of sorcery. And therefore, since the majority of the Torah says it, dresses it in the female vernacular, but really applies to men too. Says the Brice of Yisasim B'mah, so how are they killed? What's the death penalty of the Mechashev? It just says, Lo Yisichai, they should not live, but how are they executed? So basically, I mean, he says, Nemekan, here it says in the Pasuk, Mechashev, Lo Yisichai, that the sorceress should not live. V'nemelahal says a pasuk within the Devarim, Lo Yisichai kol neshama, that every life should not live, which talks about the seven nations of Eretz Canaan that had to be wiped out. Malahal and Basayef Chizuk over there was by the sword, as it says when they were fighting all these wars going to Eretz Yisrael, when they fought Sichon and Og. It says in the Midbar Chavala, Vayekei Yisrael Lifi Chayev, that they killed them by the sword. So Avkan Basayef here also, when it says the term Lo Yisichai, it means that you kill the Mechashefas with the sword. That's Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, no, Nemekan Mechashefa Lo Yisichai. Here it says the sorceress should not live. Says the pasuk within Shemais, im beheme im ish lo yichya, if it's an animal or a man, they should not live. Now Malal, just to go over there by Har Sinai, was beskila, that if they would touch Har Sinai, the Torah says in Shemais Yutes, kisakel yisakel or yor yor, they're going to be thrown off, they're going to be stoned. Afkam beskila here also, where it says the term not to live, it means by being stoned. Now Amle Brisi says to Rabbi Kiva, ani danti, I am qualifying Lo Yisichayim or Lo Yisichayim. They both say the same exact wording of Lo Yisichayim, both by the Mechashefa and both by the halacha of the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. But your words are not the same. You're judging Lo Yisichayim from Lo Yichya of the touching the mountain at Har Sinai. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, ani danti, I'm judging and qualifying Yisrael miYisrael. Both of them were by the Jewish people. Machshefa, that's a Jewish woman. And by Har Sinai, which were the Jewish people. Shereba behen HaKasim, this happened. It makes sense to compare it from another Jewish context, because the Torah added on many different death penalties for the Jewish people, which is the four types of death penalties. And we find by Har Sinai, which it says a term of not living, and the Torah chose over the death penalty of stoning. So it makes sense to compare Machshefa Lissachaya to there. You're learning out the halacha regarding a Jewish woman or a Jewish man that practices sorcery from a non-Jews, which is the halacha of Eretz Canaan, of the non-Jews of the seven nations. There the Torah only included and added for the non-Jew regarding his death penalties as a kintam and beis is misa achas. They only have one types of death, which every death penalty of a ben noach is only by the sword. So how could you learn from there that there's by the sword here also? Everything they have there by the sword. Learn from another Jewish context where we find over there it says not to live, and skila, here also means with skila. A third opinion, Benazim, he says, it says over here that a sorceress should not live. But then it says in the next pasuk afterwards, whoever lays with an animal, bestiality, then he shall surely die. Now, samchu inyan lai. So it has the parasha of mechashev near the parasha of laying with an animal, which that's what the word inyan means, that it has the parasha of it next to it. So what is it teaching us? Just like when someone who lies with an animal gets stoned, and that we know what we said in the parakan of Nadalim and Alf, it says, Demeim Bum, which it says in Parashat Kedoshim. We learn that from Oiv Yudin, that also says, Be'evin Yirgim Oisim Demeim Bum. Just to go over there, Demeim Bum means to say they're stoned by Oiv Yudin. Here also when it says Demeim Bum, it means that they're stoned. So we know when someone lays with the animal, it's beskila. So the pasuk right near it, Av Mechashev, beskila is coming to tell us also the halacha of Mechashev is with skila. That Amr Yehuda says to him, who he does not expound what's known as smuchin by just having one pasuk near another that it should reflect on the other pasuk's halacha. He says, because the parsha, the pasuk is near it, we should take out the mechashiv from possibly the lighter types of death penalties to bring it out beskila, that it should be from the more stringent types of death penalties of being stoned. How do you know that? Because it has near it, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is not derish smuchin. Ella, rather, he says, the way you would know that it is skila is from what's known as a klal uprat. It, meaning to say when you have a general and then you have a specific. Because ayvi yudaini b'chlal. Ayvi yudaini, which are types of sorceries, were already in the category of mechashem hayu. They were already liable for the death penalty, which it says in the Torah, loisechaya, mechashev loisechaya. Ayvi yudaini were included because they're also types of sorcery. So why did they go out to be mentioned by themselves specifically to write by them that there's a death penalty of skila? Is lahakashalein, is to compare this specific, the prat, to the whole entire klal, to the whole category of kishuv, which that's one of the yidgimel midash atonidash, that's one of the 13 hermeneutic principles, which is kaldovish shabichal, anything that was in the general category. V'yotzim nakalim, went out to be specified, it's coming to teach regarding the whole klal to compare all the other types of sorcery to ayvi yudaini. But I'm to tell you, ma ayvi yudaini beskila, just like ayvi yudaini gets skila, af machash beskila, so do all types of sorcery get skila. Now the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Yehuda nami, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're saying it's from klal or prat, but let Oiv and Yudaini, which are similar but they're different, to be two psukim that are teaching the same lesson. In other words, it could have just said one, either Oiv Yudaini, and then been quiet. And it's anyways telling us regarding all types of kishuv that diskila. Why mention both of them? And the halach is, anytime you have two psukim teaching the same thing, you actually do not learn from there to all the other places. Because if it was, then just say one. Why say two? Obviously, only these two, not all the other ones. So how did Rabbi Yehuda learn from Ayvi Daini to all other types of kishuv? Rabbi Zachariah says, this tells us, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that obviously when you have two psukim teaching the same lesson, you still could learn from there to all other contexts. And actually, wherever the Shas, the Talmud tells us, but according to the opinion, it says you do learn two things, you do learn the halacha from even when there's two psukim teaching the same idea, what are you going to say? That says Rashi, that's Rabbi Huda, and it's from here that we learn that he holds that opinion that you see, even though Avi Deni are teaching the same thing, it would still be malamed to all other types of witchcraft, sorcery, that the death penalty would be beskila. Continue on this theme of this halacha of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon, it says, Loma nikrishman kishafim. Why is sorcery called kishafim? So he says because it's an acronym of Shemachishin Pamalya Shamala, because it weakens the army of above, which that's the Natrikin of Khash Pamalya Shamala. Because on someone that was decreed for him to live, those who practice sorcery could kill them. So it's like weakening, so to speak, the upper courts, the upper judges, the upper armies, those groups are weakened by those who commit sorcery. Now, however, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Devarim. It says, "Einu mavadu." There is nothing besides Hashem. So Amar B'chanina says, "Afilu v'ak shafin." That means even for words of sorcery, there is no power for them for sorcery in front of the decree of Hashem, because there is no other power in the world besides Hashem. And moreover, the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. There was a certain woman that was kamahadra lemishkal afra matusi karidra b'chanina. She was trying to get some dirt, some dust, from beneath the feet of Rabbi Chanina to use it to perform sorcery on him. So Amalah, he said to her, look, if your words are going to be successful, if you're going to be able to do some sorcery on me, zili avida, go ahead and do it. Because ein oim levad iksiv, it says in the Torah, there's nothing but Hashem. If Hashem wants my, and he desires my favor, you're not going to be able to do any bad to me. And if you will be successful, it's coming from Hashem, and I accept it, and therefore I'm not afraid of you. On that, as the Gemara, as we mentioned before, is that so? But Vamir Birchen, Birchen, was mentioned before by saying, Loma the Krishman Mechashvim, why are they called sorcerers? Shemachishim Bamali Shemali. You see, they could weaken the heavenly armies up there. So you see that they do have a power. Says the Gemara, you're right. But Shan Reb Chanina was different, which was this halacha of him and this incident with him, because he had many merits, and therefore from heaven they go out of the way to save him, and therefore he wasn't afraid. And he was on that level of thinking, nothing happened to him, even the power of Kishra, but for a regular person, those mechashim, those sorcerers do have a power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, that they could do certain things to cause death to a person that was supposed to live. Continuing on this theme of Kishruv, Amr Reb Aiva Bar Nagari, Amr Reb Chiya Bar Abba, he quotes a pasuk in Shemais in Egypt by the, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, says that those in the court of Parai did things bilotehem, which is like from the root word as it says in Shaft and Periktal, but Tavi Balat, she came in private, in secret. So what does that mean when they did these types of sorcery bilotehem? Elu Maisa Shadim, this refers to acts that were performed through demons, where that's what Shadim are, they're hidden and they're not visible. That's from the word balat, which is in secrecy, in hiding. So wherever it says bilotehem, the chartum and the necromancers, those who perform this sorcery for Parai, would do it with their incantations through the help of Shadim, through that of demons. But when it says bilahatehem, if there's a hay over there, then actually elu maisa keshav, that refers to acts of sorcery, which were not done through the help of demons, rather through itself. And the sword that was turning by, as the pasuk says, Lishmer's derech etzachaim, to protect the path going to the tree of life, which when after Adam Rishon sinned, there was this sword that was turning by itself in front of the entryway to Gan Eden, not letting Adam Rishon back in, which was similar to witchcraft, but it was not through demons that the sword kept on turning, rather by itself. And you see the term that's used is lahat. So when it says belahat tehem, that actually is referring to maisik shavim done by itself and not through shadim. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye gives a sign to recognize if it's maisik shadim or it's maisik shavim. Says the kapar aman, if the one that's performing this act is particularly regarding the specific vessel, that he cannot do it unless he has that a specific tool that he needs. So, for example, if he needs a certain type of a glass cup, or if he needs a certain type of a knife, or a certain type of a sackcloth, so then shade, that refers to when he's doing it through a demon. The loy kavod aman, if he's not particular on the kli, he could do whatever he needs to do with any kli that he has, then keshavim, well, that's the practice of sorcery. Now, Amar Abaye, he says, Hilchas keshavim, kilchas Shabbos, the halachas relating to sorcery are like the halachas of Shabbos. In what way? So he says, yesh mehen beskila, just like by Shabbos, there are those things that if one does chilur Shabbos, that if he does a malach of Shabbos, he gets the death penalty of being stoned. V'yesh mehen patav alasar, there are certain things on Shabbos that are exempt, but initially forbidden, like a shvusa, isad rabbanan, which is exempt of any penalty, but it's forbidden. V'yesh mehen mutlak etchila, and there are certain things on Shabbos which are totally permitted, that seemingly are like a melacha, like trapping a deer or a bird which came underneath his cloak, which he could stay there and safeguard until it gets dark, and it's not considered trapping, which is tzad, which is one of the melachas, because it came by itself. Or if let's say he pops a pimple when he wants to take out the mucus, as the Gemara says, Masech l'Shabbos of Kavzayin Mad Aleph, that's totally permitted. So if he traps a snake because he's involved in just that the snake should not bite him, that's mutla ketchila. So here also says the Gemara, says Abaya, you have the same three parallels in the halachas of keshavim. You have a oisa maisa, if someone literally does an action of sorcery, so he gets beskila, he gets death penalty of being stoned. Then you have the category of ha'oiches esanayim, if someone does illusions, where he makes as if he's doing it, but he's not really doing anything, that's patav alasa, that you're exempt, but it's initially forbidden. And then you have things that are mutlik etchila, that are totally permitted regarding like this category of kishuv, k'rev chanin of rev oishia. Where Kamali Shabbos Ava Aski B'Hilchas Yitzira, every Arab Shabbat they would be involved in the halachas of the acts of creation, which is from the Sefer Yitzira, and by itself, Umivri Lahu Iglatilsa, and then a third born calf would be created, by their combinations of the different letters of Hashem, which with them Hashem created the world. And then they would eat it. And there it's totally permitted. There's no problem about sorcery, which the Torah forbids, because it's the acts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the holy names of Hashem, and it's coming from the side of purity, not from the side of impurity, which is the Isser of sorcery. Now, Amar Vashi, continuing on these stories of Kishav, he says, Chazina le'lavu dekarna, I saw by the father of Karna, who was a Mechashiv, the Nufitz, that he blew his nose very strong, v'shadi kricha d'sharoi, and out came these strips of silk minachiri out of his nostrils, which is an act of kishuv, which again, whether it's for real or if it's illusion, but that's forbidden under the category of kishuv. Now the pasuk says in Shemayis, "Beyemer ha-chartum el pari," that the chartumim, these necromancers, these those who would do these types of sorcery, they said to pari, "Etzpe alekimhi." Ooh, that's a finger of God. And that was in reference to the makkah of the 10 makkahs of kingdom of lice, which they were telling in Pari, this wasn't done through Kishuv. Rather, this must have been done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is something that Khartoum don't have the ability to do. Well, Amar Belezi, he says, Mikan, from here we learn, from the makkah of kingdom of lice, She'in Hashed Yochali Baris Bria Pochas Mikasari, that a demon, which is how they had their powers of Khartoumim, they cannot create something less than the size of a barley corn. And lice is much smaller than that. And from the fact that this there was such a makkah of lice, must be it's from Hashem, it's the finger of God, and cannot be done through Kishuv. Now, Rapapam, he disagrees. He says, Elikim, by the name of Hashem, he swears, Afilik Gamla Namile Matzibar. What do you mean? Even a camel, something humongous, they cannot create. They can't create any creature. Rather, it's just that the demon, when they need to perform this sorcery of having large creatures, the demon gathers these creatures from far away and brings it from places which are hefker. But the only difference is, high michnifle, but it's large creatures that it's easy for the shaitan to gather, and they come together where they want to bring them together. But vahai, but regarding a small creature like this of lice, le michnifle, they can't go ahead and gather them because they don't have the strength to come from faraway places. But it's not because, they didn't say that, oh, this is Hashem because this we can't create, but other things we could create. They can't create anything. It's just that with their kishuv, they could bring it from far places, but regarding kingdom, they can't even bring from far places, and that's why they said, oh, etzbe lekimi. Now, relating to this halacha, Amalei Rav Reb Chiya says, L'didi chasli ahutaya, I saw this Arab merchant, that the shakli l'safsira, he took his sword, v'gaydi l'gamla, and he cut the camel into pieces, v'tarvli b'tavla, and then he rang his bell, v'kam, and the camel got up on its feet. So Amalei, so he said to him, that Rav Chiya said to Rav, that l'basar hachi, after that, meaning after the camel got up, damu parta mihavya, did you find any mess over there from the blood or from the innards of that camel? There was nothing there. El rather, that was just an illusion, and it was never cut up in the first place, because as we said before, he can't bring anything dead back to life, he can't create anything. This was just one big illusion, where, and it was obvious, because if it was really bringing back to life, you'd still at least see the blood and the kishkes that were there on the floor when it was cut up. Obviously, it was never cut up in the first place to even bring it back to life. So to Ziri Ikla Lachsandri Shal Mitzrayim, Ziri went to Alexandria in Egypt, Zavin Chamer, and he brought a donkey. Kimat Lashku Yimai, when he's coming to drink, give it water to drink, Pasher, then the whole witchcraft, the whole sorcery spell dissolved. And the reason is because all types of sorcery are inspected by live waters, and then the whole spell dissolves. V'kam, and it turned into gamla duskenisa. The donkey turned into a board from a bridge, because originally they had taken this board and turned it through sorcery into a donkey, because gamla refers to a gesher, a bridge, and duskenisa is a different type of a wood. So it went back to being what it really was, which was this board from this bridge. Now, when he came to get his money back, Amrlei, they said to Ze'iri, Ilav Ze'iri at, if you weren't Ze'iri, we wouldn't return you your money, because Mi'ika Dezavim Midi Haka, do you think there's anyone who buys over here in the market in Alexandria, B'lei Bodigle Amayim, does not inspect it by the water? In other words, because there's no one that's going to buy over here in a place which is presumed with sorcery to buy any merchandise without checking water. Why didn't you check? But since you're Ze'iri, we'll give you your money back. Where it tells another incident, Yanai Iklo Lahu Ishbiza Yanai, which Rashi points out is not Reb Yanai, because this person actually was not an appropriate person, because he actually did Kishuv himself, he did sorcery. Zifstiani went to a certain host. Amalu, he said to them, Ashkayin Maya, please give me water to drink. So Kribish Asisa, they brought him this drink, which is flour that's mixed with water. So he saw that the lady at home, who was bringing him the drink, her lips were moving. And he recognized that she was a sorceress. So Shada Purtim, he poured a little bit of that drink down on the floor, and Havakrave turned into scorpions. So Amalu, he said to them, Anosha soy miditchu. Okay, I drank from your drink. In other words, he didn't reveal to them that he figured out their plot. He made believe as if he drank. And he says, okay, atunami shasu mididi, now you drink from my drink. Ashkaya, he gave the woman to drink. And Havichamra, the lady turned into a donkey. And Rachva, and then Yana got up and he rode on her. And Salak Lashuk, and he rode on her driving, going into the marketplace. Asa Chaverta, now this lady's friend, came. And Pashla, and she dissolved the spell that Yana had put on her. And she went back to her original state. Chazi, so it appeared, they saw this Yanai, the Rachiv Akoya, Itzabashuk, he was riding a woman in the marketplace because she was in his spell as a donkey. So he was riding the donkey. And then when the friend took away the spell, she turned back into a woman. And here was Yanai riding a woman in the marketplace. Continuing on the theme of the Chartumim in Mitzrayim, it says the Pasuk in Shemais regarding the 10 markets, it says, Vatal HaTzvardeya, that the Tzvardeya, which was the second Makkah, of the 10 Makkahs, that the frog came in, Vatachas, and it covered the land of Mitzrayim. Now, the word Tzvardeya, it sounds like in the singular. But we know that the word Tzvardeim, there were frogs all over. So what does it mean that the frog came in? So Amar Belaz, he said, Tzvardeya Achasai. So initially, it was actually only one frog. But Hishritza, but it sprouted forth from its womb, and out came children, Umal Kalat Mitzrayim, and out of it was flying this from inside of it, the frogs throughout the land of Egypt. Says the Gemara, actually, Kitanoi, this statement is actually Machlekes Tanoim. Because Rabbi Kiva, he says, like Rabbi Lazar just said, Tzvardeya Achasais, it was one frog, Umolo Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, and it filled up the whole land of Egypt. Where Amale Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, he says, well, Akiva, Malacha Eitz Lagoda, what are you doing with homiletic teachings? Kalei Medabrisecha, stop your words. Valech Eitz L'Negoyim and Olis, go to Mesechtis, the halachas of Negoyim and the Olis, which Negoyim is regarding different types of tzaras, and Olis is regarding tuma in the oil, which they're very stringent, they're very difficult halachas, and that's where your sharpness, that's where your strength comes out, but not, don't involve yourself in Divri Agadata. Because it's not like you're saying that they were just flying out of this frog. Tzvardei Achas Haisa, it was only one frog. Sharkalehem, but it screamed forth, and let its voice be heard to all the frogs in the world, Vehim Bo, and that's where all the frogs came from around the world and came, but really it was one frog that came, it just called all the frogs from the rest of the world, and those were the frogs that were coming throughout Mitzrayim in the second Makkah of the 10 Makkahs.